What's the name for this fallacy? Where you're like, you shouldn't do a thing, but you're not addressing it because of the central moral claim. You give like some other consideration that's like not even remotely part of what the question is getting at. Do you think it's acceptable to rape a woman just because she says no to you? And you're like, no, I think that'd be crazy. Like, what if I got an STD? I don't even know her medical history. Like, that's like a crazy, you understand that's a crazy thing to say, right? That'd be an insane thing to say.
Immediately after the, or shortly after the killing of Brian Thompson, an image of the Blue Cross Blue Shield CEO, with her photo and her name.
Bruh! I didn't realize how insane that all the shit that she posted was. Holy fuck! Hello?
I mean, surely you understand how that could be seen as you saying, get her next.
Nah.
No.
You don't? Immediately after someone
CEO queen
with their name and face.
Yeah.
After you just said we want these people
dead.
With context.
Talking about it. Again,
yeah.
Like...
Taylor Lorenz, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I will say I have followed you for many years and you are iconic in so many ways. Obviously, you have some extreme or out there takes and opinions that we're going to discuss that I don't share. But
maybe even
always,
some correct opinions, too.
Well, I guess we'll see. But I you are always up to something interesting, it's fair to say, whether that's UserMag, your Substack, or your YouTube channel, which we'll discuss some of the content from that as well. But it's great to have you on the show. So here's how we'll start. I'm going to hit you with a series of rapid-fire yes or no questions.
Okay.
And then we're going to go into each of them in turn.
All okay, right. Let's do it.
Taylor Lorenz, have you encouraged assassinations?
No.
Should somebody do it?
Do what? Do the, like the meme?
What?
Murder
just
someone? I'm going to say no. I made a whole video about that, actually.
Oh, I know. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Should schools ban phones?
If the school wants to, it depends whether the government or the school is doing it, I would say.
Are we still in a COVID-19 pandemic?
According to the World Health Organization and definitionally, COVID is spreading at pandemic levels.
Should people still be wearing masks?
I mean, airborne disease is real. So I don't always tell people. I mean, people in Asia have worn masks for years and they don't get the flu as much. They have healthier outcomes. So, yeah, ideally we'd clean the air and we wouldn't have to like personally filter. It's like, I don't want to have to personally filter my water every time it comes out of the tap. That's annoying. I think we should just have clean water. I think we should have.
Where is this idea that we're still in a pandemic or whatever? Or
so, okay. First. Big controversy in Taylor Lorenz's world was your reaction to the murder of healthcare CEO, United Healthcare CEO, Brian Thompson by Luigi Mangione, who's, of course, being prosecuted for this. When you responded initially on social media, you took a lot of flack for it. So would you say the things you posted don't encourage assassinations?
No, I think it's such a ridiculous framing. I mean, explaining the motivations of a killer does not mean that you promote assassinations. I mean, this is America. True crime is a massive, massive industry. We have the Jeffrey Dahmer Netflix show, you know, that's explaining his motivations. Does that mean that they're endorsing Jeffrey Dahmer's behavior? No, that's ridiculous. And I think explaining potential motivations in terms of why someone would want to murder a healthcare executive does not mean that you're justifying their behavior. Obviously, no one should be shooting anyone on the street, no matter what. I don't think you should shoot a Palantir executive down on the street either. I think it's a totally ineffective way to solve these systemic problems that we have, especially when it comes to healthcare in this country. I think like... Yeah, and I think I think it'll be interesting to hear kind of Luigi Mangione's justifications for his behavior, but I don't think there are going to be any good ones.
What?
So I agree with everything you just said, but I did get a very different impression from your post at the time. So on Blue Sky, you posted a starfish that's happy with balloons, and then the text CEO down, and you wrote... Woke up to see this spammed in my group chat.
Descriptive, not prescriptive.
Wait, sorry. So just to be clear, that's me saying waking up to seeing this meme being shared all over.
Oh,
I'm
an
internet
God.
Culture reporter, right? So I share a lot of, I've shared Nazi content, right? Saying like, hey, this is trending or this is shared. That doesn't mean it's, that's not saying, Hell yeah, let's go. You know, I hate these insurance executives. I am not going to cry, you know,
when they get
they
murdered?
Know, some bad things before.
Bad things? What, like you got a parking ticket?
All them, but I'm sure a lot of people feel that way about me. That doesn't mean I think somebody should go
oh my
around
God.
Shooting, you know, me on the street or anyone on the street. Really, I think gun violence generally, as we saw with Charlie Kirk as well, like it's not good regardless.
What do you want me to say? It's bad.
But you did also post in response to Blue Cross Blue Shield news about them, quote, and people wonder why we want these executives dead. So
yes.
I that seems like you're expressing that sentiment in your own right, not just
I would love if all of these, you know, evil people in the world wanted to drop dead tomorrow.
Who?
I think,
what?
You know, personally, I'm not going to cry about it. But that doesn't mean that I'm endorsing gun violence, which I've always been very staunchly against, whether it's the shooting of Charlie Kirk in cold blood on a campus. I think that's incredibly dangerous. I think shooting, especially in public, it's just dangerous behavior. It's ridiculous. Like, luckily, other people aren't.
Can you what's the name for this fallacy where you're like, you shouldn't do a thing, but you're not addressing it because of the central moral claim? You give, like, some other consideration that's, like, not even remotely part of what the question is, like, getting at? Like, do you think it's acceptable to rape a woman just because she says no to you? And you're like, I think that'd be crazy. Like, what if I got an STD? I don't even know her medical history. Like, that's, like, you understand that's a crazy thing to say, right? That'd be an insane thing to say. Like, shooting somebody like that, executing somebody on the street with a gun, he didn't even check his background. Like, who knows who he could have hit with that? Like, that's crazy.
Aren't hurt, but most of the time in these types of incidents, other people are hurt. There are civilian casualties. And I would say this is another reason we need to have a talk about sort of guns in America as well and access to firearms. But yeah, I mean, I think, listen, Brian Thompson, I don't know whether he was morally good, morally bad. I mean, I think his job was unethical. I think the insurance industry is unethical. And I think the way to build a better healthcare system that works for all Americans, because again, the support for the murder of Brian Thompson was across the political spectrum, as Ben Shapiro learned the hard way in his comment section.
It was higher among left of center people, but there
it was kind of all over the place, though.
But when you look at the polling, it was heavier among left of center respondents.
Yeah, maybe, but I think, like, generally, I talk to people from all over the political spectrum. I think no one is happy with our current healthcare system. I think ultimately we need systemic changes to that healthcare system, and like you could literally shoot dead every insurance executive tomorrow, and there'll be a new insurance executive in their place. It's not gonna get anything, and in fact it's just gonna proliferate gun violence and political extremism. And I do think that we are seeing more and more violent political extremism because people don't feel represented through our democratic systems. And that's kind of what my
I agree with you
about.
I definitely agree with everything you just said, but then were some of these posts just rage baiting? Because, like, you had to know how some of the things that you said would be perceived, and obviously they're going to be taken out of context. But
yeah, I think everything's taken out of context, and I think it's a matter of kind of you know, again, people consuming somebody else's post through this filter mechanism and intentionally misrepresenting their views. I am a very good faith person. If somebody says, "Hey, what do you mean by that?" I went on Sean Hannity, right, to talk about exactly what I meant by this. I will show up anywhere and say, "Yeah, I totally understand how you know that reads, but here's what I'm trying to say." So I think, like, if you want to ignore that context, okay. But there are also people that are in 4K calling
4K.
For you know blood and calling for people to be murdered, and I think we should be able to talk about
terrible.
This. Yeah, totally. But we need to be able to talk about that stuff without accusing every single person that says, "Hey, I totally get how these people feel, actually," or "I totally understand their anger," or "What does that mean?" or "Here's the discussion that's happening. Let's talk about it." When we refuse that stuff and we do the moral panic outrage shit, whether you're on the left or the right, it's just totally unproductive. And we can't talk about these things because they become taboo. And we have rising political violence in this country. That's just
crazy.
A fact. We're seeing it. And I don't think it's going to get better. I really don't.
So, but I do think that some people did take your posts out of context. That's certainly, no one gets context, right?
Not going to go out of my way, by the way, just to give you credit. Like, I'm not going out of my way to, like I'm not going to go out of my way to, like, soften or, like, be like, "Oh, Fox News is going to take this out of context," whatever. Like, I kind of.
Who cares if people understand what you're saying? It's not like you're a reporter or something, or a journalist.
And
who cares if anybody knows what you mean?
Like I said, I'm always happy to clarify. I'm happy to have these conversations. I add quite a lot of nuance to people that, you know, if you wanted to follow me and understand my views on it, like, I've done a million interviews talking about it, but you know, I just think it's silly to like self-censor in a way where it's like, I'm gonna let me tweet everything in this boring
ass way. So that
people
understand what I'm saying, you know, true.
Gives credence to the dumbest.
But you still have to be responsible with your rhetoric, though, and the enormity of your platform.
Nah.
So like.
Enormity, thank you.
I mean, no, you're one of the most influential journalists on the internet, I think.
And my gosh.
Your posts get...
Sure.
I mean, it's just true. It's not me saying I endorse or agree with you. It's just objectively true. Like, you're
very
well-known.
Well, then why can't we have the conversation that people with millions and millions more followers are actively calling for...
Active.
For blood, you know,
both
sides of political.
Absolutely,
but there's not Fox News articles about them, and a lot of times these people
are
in
partisan
positions,
media.
Well,
they are
a lot of
absolutely.
Yeah, but a lot of times these people are in positions. They have a lot more power and influence than I do. I think there's a fixation with me, especially on the right, to sort of paint me a specific way. And you know, when I make comments against the left, they just ignore that, right? They sort of only get, there's only this moral outrage.
Well, the left can be very vicious towards people as well.
Yeah,
when they
tell me about it. I know.
They're vicious against me.
But so just to round out this point about the response to the Luigi Mangione shooting, you did post immediately after or shortly after the killing of Brian Thompson, an image of the Blue Cross Blue Shield CEO,
Jesus!
Kim A. Peck, with her photo and her name.
Bruh! I didn't realize how insane that all the shit that she posted was. Holy fuck! Hello?
I mean, surely you understand how that could be seen as you saying, get her next.
Nah.
No.
You don't? Immediately after someone shot, you post
another
CEO
queen.
With their name and face after you just said we want these people dead.
With context. About it. Again, like, we need to talk about the context. At that point,
what was the context?
People were really talking about that. She was in the conversation. People were talking about it. Again, you can take every single thing that I post and frame it in the worst way possible intentionally mislead stuff about it. And that's what the right-wing media does.
True.
And I have to say, it's such a waste. It's such a waste. And I know it feeds the base and I know it generates outrage, but it's very silly. And the left does it too. I'm not going to say the left doesn't do it too.
You don't think there's anything irresponsible about that?
Putting
immediately after an assassination against a healthcare CEO, blasting out the name and image and specifically another CEO.
The context! Why does he keep ignoring the context?
People are calling death threats against her. By the way, I actually debunked the idea that she was, I think there was a claim that she had cut some other sort of, backing, I can't remember. She had cut back on, I think it was like anesthesia or something. I helped those claims.
Anna who?
So again, if Fox News wants to screenshot something and manufacture outrage for their own engagement bait, I'm not going to live my life in a way where, again, there's nothing that I can say, because I did live that way for years. And let me tell you, they would just take anything that I said and sort of intentionally misrepresent it.
True.
So, you know.
So I watched this morning, because I always like to go back and revisit. I followed your work for years, but I like to go revisit the stuff before I talk to a guest.
Yeah.
I went back and watched your video. I'll put it on screen, just the thumbnail here. Over 1.1 million views. The title's just, Somebody Needs to Do It.
Yeah.
Now, this is your video discussing the trend of people across...
I feel like I'm watching... This is like a comedy. I feel like I'm watching it... This is like Key and Peele, right? We're literally watching a Key and Peele skit, right? What's the... I'm trying to think of the... Where his friend is like, what's on? What's this? What's that? What's that?
You need to take it easy right now. Have a beer.
We're watching the last minute of this, because this is what we're watching.
All right, just sit down.
All right.
Fine. I'm a big comedy fan. You like comedy, right?
Yeah. Who doesn't like comedy?
Well, there's a lot of people who don't like comedy. You know, there's a lot of people out there, dog, straight up, who don't have a sense of humor, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's
true. I mean, there are people who, I'll go so far as to say, are comedy haters.
All right.
But it's just be better if, you know, instead of putting each other down, if all the comedy lovers got together and found somehow to organize and do something about the comedy hater problem.
Okay.
I have a proposition for you. What if you were to be my second in command in figuring out a way to get rid of all the comedy haters? I was thinking what we could do is put all of them in, like, one little small section of town.
Right,
and then
I
can
demonize some of
another
skit.
Media.
Nope.
But okay, never mind.
You a Nazi.
What is going on? All right, see ya.
Fuck, I was thinking the one with the country music with the guitar or whatever. Fuck. The earlier parts are accurate. Yeah, but there's one where he maybe it's about being a KKK racist. I don't know. Too late. Don't care. Never mind. Ruin the joke.
across social media who are saying, like, somebody needs to do it here. Over 1.1 million
people. Play it? Well, now...
I feel like this is this entire video. Okay. Jesus. Just crunch that meme into, like, 5 seconds and make it work, okay?
Why haven't they taken it down yet? Who are all these people? Are they here to, like, cry about their fallen leader's name, or...
Watched your video. I'll put it on. Like to go revisit the stuff before I talk to a guest.
Yeah.
I went back and watched your video. I'll put it on screen. Just the thumbnail here. Over 1.1 million views. The title's just Somebody Needs to Do It.
Yeah.
Now, this is your video discussing the trend of people across social media who are saying, like, somebody needs to do it. And I've seen these are super popular everywhere.
Yeah.
They're referring to Trump being killed, right?
Yeah.
Being
what? Or Elon Musk in some cases. Basically, yes. It's come to mean kind of like, let's murder the people that we don't like.
Wow.
So you obviously, your video was very well done, video essay, and very interesting.
I think he's Spanish.
But I did notice, like, at no point in there did you really explicitly disavow that sentiment.
I think you should watch it again.
Yeah.
I think
you really
should watch
it again,
buddy. Because that entire video is a critique of
this
is it? Meme and why it's so harmful. And it's, again, it's...
Wait. Is that what that video is about?
Let me just listen to like
thousands
5 minutes.
Thousands of all across the internet, thousands and thousands of people are making the same plea.
Yo, can somebody just do it? Can somebody, anybody, just do it?
Somebody's got to do it. There has to be somebody out there that is willing to do it.
Who's going to take the initiative to do it? We all know it needs to be done, and somebody needs to do it.
If someone does it before the summertime, it's going to be like that one summer when everyone was playing Pokemon Go and everyone was a friend.
Do it, please. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm not saying somebody should. Nobody should.
I 100% dare you to name one thing that you hope happens in 2025.
Sorry.
On X, TikTok, Instagram, and in comment sections all over, people are begging, pleading for someone out there to just do it. In these pleas, the subject is never stated, the action is never spelled out, but somehow we all know exactly what's being said. But in case you are somehow still in the dark, these memes are about unaliving Trump. And sorry to say it in very dumb algo speak terms, but I don't want this video to get taken down from YouTube. What we're witnessing is not just an absurd or ironic online trend. It's something much, much deeper. We are living in a political tinderbox. Trump is back in power, enacting policies that undermine civil liberties, environmental protections, and our economy. Elon Musk is gutting the federal government while billionaires rob us blind. Institutions that were built to serve as guardrails are bending and breaking, while Democrats are not even symbolically resisting. The courts are caving, the press is depleted, and the idea of accountability feels like a joke. Dissent is being criminalized, speech is being surveilled, and legal U.S. residents are literally being deported for thought crimes. These memes are symbols of a society teetering on the edge. Memes have always reflected.
I kind of feel like she's kind of like saying that, you know, like maybe
cultural moods, but these posts are about something more than that. They tap into this belief that the system is beyond repair and that nothing short of a seismic violent shift will change the direction that we're heading in. In this video, I'm going to attempt to dissect this belief and unpack exactly what led us here. I'm not going to get into whether these memes and posts are moral, legal, or even advisable, but what I want you to understand.
Wait, then why would she just say it was about how they weren't moral?
This, watch it again, because that entire video is a critique of this meme and why it's so harmful. And I'm going to attempt to dissect this belief and unpack exactly what led us here. I'm not going to get into whether these memes and posts are moral, legal, or even advisable, but what I want you to understand of this meme and why it's so harmful. And it's instead of saying, like, there's this obsession, especially on the right, with condemning. You have to, you know, do you condemn XYZ? Do you condemn Hamas? Do you condemn? And I never engage in that sort of back and forth, because mm-hmm. what I think is, do you understand? Do you understand why? And this is how I started covering the MAGA movement so early. Do you understand why these people are outraged at, you know, the liberal machine? Do you understand why people would vote for Donald Trump? Do you understand the anger that a lot of Americans feel towards the media elite? I would argue a lot of people in the media don't. A lot of journalists don't. A lot of people don't care to understand. And
but I don't think you'd take that approach towards another group, like radical white supremacists or a surge in white supremacist sentiment. I don't think you would do a 35-minute video.
What are you talking about? I have interviewed the Proud Boys in 4K.
I didn't finish the sentence.
Okay.
Without explicitly disavowing the sentiment or including voices who speak out about how harmful it is as well. Which in
I
this,
think you're
I mean,
not, Brad. Please,
Brad.
Please,
Brad.
Don't, like,
if you're
you
just not informed,
my work,
Brad.
And if you actually watch my
Brad.
Videos, you should know that I think that this reflects
Brad.
Condemnation type of. Obviously, like, I'm sort of firm on my viewpoints, and when I talk to white supremacists, I don't agree with their ideology. But I don't just go condemn. I try to understand, where are they coming from? Why do they believe that? And why is that ideology increasingly resonating with people? And I think it's so important to
I
have those conversations.
Wrong way.
And by the way, to say that video is positive or that I'm in any way endorsing it is very ridiculous. I would make it quite clear in the video that I don't support murdering anyone. I think I explicitly say it. If not, I
don't think it's clear. I'll read you a quote that I jotted down this morning from the video.
Uh-oh.
In my opinion, it's not sick that people want to unalive Trump and the billionaires who are responsible for so much suffering. It's sick that people in power have normalized such obscene levels of systemic violence, especially against marginalized groups. A little bit after that, you concluded, we can't vote our way out of this.
Yeah, you can't vote your way out of these.
Okay.
But also...
Stop!
systems, meaning we have to change the systems. Now, again, if you want to take one line and cherry pick, fine, but please, everybody, go watch that video.
Please do. It is a good video. It is interesting.
Brad,
and
please
I'm telling you, I watched it, and it sounds like you're sympathetic to them.
You're crazy.
It really does.
You're crazy because I got canceled for.
She got canceled.
Literally, this is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. I'm sorry. At that point, you're just seeing what you want to see. And that's what the right does a lot. It's what the left does too, but it's really what the right does. You don't want to understand. You don't want to empathize with people.
Man.
You just want to project onto them. And that's how. That's why we're in this place that we are right now with political.
One thing too, I don't know if Brad, I have no experience with gay men. I don't know how gay men act in terms of like the analogs to like crazy white women. Brad might have never dealt with a person like this in his entire life. He might have absolutely no foundation with which to intellectually spar with an intensely, mentally, and psychologically corrosive white woman. I don't know. So he's even more unprepared.
Violence. And I talk to a lot of extreme people from a lot of extreme groups. And it's frustrating because I think people get into these political rabbit holes and they can't see outside of them. And so everything becomes this sort of like, how can I kind of view this through the lens of my ideology?
Yeah.
I think it's corrosive. I think
so
it's
much
toxic.
Random
I
shit she
totally
just said that had nothing to do with
it,
anything.
But I think
said,
the right is addicted to it. And I think it needs to stop. And obviously, I don't want anybody to be doing political violence in this country. That entire video is against political violence and trying to de-radicalize people out of political violence. And you can't de-radicalize people out of political violence when you just run around saying, I condemn you, I condemn you, I condemn you. And I encourage you to watch my actual journalism when I've interviewed other folks on the right. You'll note that I don't do that to them.
Yeah.
Just the way I'm not on here condemning whatever views, I'm sure that we disagree on things. I'm not saying, like, I condemn Brad's blah, blah, blah belief.
Well,
I just
go for it. You can. We can
discuss
it.
It's unproductive. It would be a waste of time. I want to have a dialogue and talk about things in a nuanced way that's not just like, you know, clickbait bullshit for social media. I think it's just corrosive.
So I guess people should go watch that video. I absolutely do recommend that, and they can draw
and
their own
conclusion.
And don't
shoot Donald Trump or Elon Musk. It's not going to do what you think it's going to do. And also, it's just political violence is not going to solve the problems that we have. Trust me, it's going to make it worse.
I'm trying to remember from the beginning of this conversation. This is why I say these people are smarter than you think they are, and it's all very intentional. I don't know if a single time she said that it would be morally wrong to do it. Which I think that's intentional, right? She's always speaking in a very cold and detached utilitarian manner when she speaks about this, right? And I think she's done that since the very beginning, I believe. So it's very, 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 very sneaky here.
I completely agree with that sentiment. But so you have a couple, obviously you cover technology and social media and these kinds of things with sometimes some unique perspectives. So is it your position that schools should not ban phones completely from schools?
No, I think it's up to the school to decide, and it's up to the teachers to decide, and I think parents should have a say in that as well. And I think that
schools should not ban phones completely from schools.
No, I think it's up to the school to decide, and it's up to the teachers.
Right. Should not have some unique perspectives. So is it your position that schools should not ban phones completely from schools?
No, I think it's up to the school to decide, and it's up to the teachers to decide, and I think parents should have a say in that as well. And I think that what we do need to do is ask questions about the government and what is the government's role in this, and do we want the government coming in and taking this heavy-handed approach where we have cops tackling students to the ground because they might have a cell phone, or students getting...
She's good at never answering anything, right? She's I've said this before. Dude, I don't want to talk to this motherfucker. Get the fuck off me, bitch. Boom! I feel like she's very good at this, like, psychological manipulation when she's having conversations where she can pivot and divert and never answer what she's asked and then just, like, get back onto her talking points. Like, do you think schools should ban phones? I think the school should choose. Well, what does that mean? Do you have an opinion on it? And then I think parents should be involved. Well, of course, as their kids. I don't think the government should be heavy-handed. Well, what do you mean? Public schools are government run. What do you mean by that? And then it's like, well, I don't think cops should be tackling people or whatever. And it's like, okay, who thinks cops should be violent? Like, what are we even talking about at this point? You know, she's very, 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 very good at this.
Certain students getting suspended and, you know, harassed again by police officers in schools. Is that the model that we want to follow? We had the beeper bans in the 90s, right? We saw how those beeper bans played out. Beepers were blamed. I'm sure they were very disruptive in the 90s when everyone had beepers, I guess, that were going off all day in class. I'm sure that was very annoying. So we saw the rise of beeper bans. Well, what about that? What happened? Obviously, in places like Chicago, we saw over 100 students get arrested. We saw kids ending up with criminal records for carrying beepers to school. Now we're seeing though? These same laws brought back and applied to cell phones. I think we should learn the lessons that we learned in the 90s. And when we make this legislation, I'm fine if you want to do a ban, but that shouldn't be disciplinary. It shouldn't be this thing where, oh, you have a cell phone, you know, now you have this criminal record or some cop is harassing you. Or now we're enacting, unfortunately, a lot of these cell phone bans are being packaged with AI surveillance systems. So what? The primary reason parents are against the bans is because of school shootings. And so the school's answers to that is like, well, we actually have these AI, you know, systems that can scan, and they're putting the AI systems on school buses as well that can scan for harmful behavior or identify kids that are potential dangers. We saw how this played out in Baltimore just a few months ago, where a kid was tackled to the ground by a police officer who misidentified a Doritos bag in his hand as a gun.
Wow.
This is ridiculous. First of all, why is the government having such a heavy-handed approach?
Well, they run public schools. So public schools are government institutions. Sure, so they have to have a role in shaping the policies of them.
No, I think that actually, if you look at a lot of these school-to-school rules, the government does not, the government does not shape school-to-school policies.
School boards are the level of government.
Yeah,
no?
Sure, yeah, but I'm saying, like, the why do we have, for instance, the federal lawmakers talking about this? We have state-level lawmakers.
Why? What was that sentence there, right? Why do we have federal-level lawmakers talking about this? What does that have to do with it? Well, federal lawmakers are probably talking about literally every single subject imaginable. Like, what a non-answer to everything. Like, oh, God, I hate her. She's such a hateable person.
School is different. Some schools desperately need, you know, for instance, I was in a school in LA where a vast amount of students or a significant amount of students do shift work. They need their cell phones for shift work, or the parents also do shift work. So in that school, I think they desperately need, you know, for instance, I was in a school in LA where a vast amount of students or a significant amount of students do shift work. They need their cell phones for shift work, or the parents also do shift work. So
I'm so sorry. What is shift work? Does she mean they work a part-time job, or is there a special, what does that mean?
So in that school, I think they should have a different policy than a suburban school where kids maybe don't need that. Also, a lot of the kids have...
I don't even know what the fuck that means. But like, when you leave class, you would just get your cell phone. What does that have to do with anything that's being said? All of this is so...
have wearables now. A lot of these policies don't apply in certain ways. I think that there are ways to write these policies in smart ways, but I think we should learn the lessons that we learned from the beeper bans, and we should not model these cell phone ban laws or rules after the beeper bans. And we should just make sure that we're not... having basically civil liberties violations, and I know that is basically the only people that believe this are libertarians. but I'm with the libertarians on this one. I think that there are civil liberties concerns.
Okay,
I mean, I'm sympathetic to anything related to civil liberties, but I don't find the idea that school shooting.
What does she mean by beeper bans? I have no idea. Maybe it was. I mean, I remember when beepers were kind of popular before cell phones, but I don't remember kids ever bringing beepers to school. I mean, maybe kids did, and I just am not. I don't remember it, or no, I would have remembered it. Maybe it was the generation before me. I don't remember people ever bringing beepers to school. I don't know. So I don't know any beeper bans. I don't know.
I mean, that is such a rare, extremely statistically rare phenomenon.
And that's what parents are concerned about.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm saying I'm not sure I get that concern. Think. I mean, they feel it, but I'm not sure it's actually justified given how incredibly rare it is.
But they also feel it about cell phones. It's not justified. We know from the data that banning cell phones does not actually increase school performance.
There's some mixed data.
There we go. What? She couldn't just say this initially. She's against any form of phone restriction or ban, by the way. She'll never come right out and say it with that level of strength, but... she is opposed to every single form of controlling phones or anything for kids, ever. She's against all of it. Age restrictions, any kind of school restriction. She's opposed to every single thing here. She will not agree with Brad on a single type of control. She will always kind of vaguely allude to, like, I think that, like, well, I mean, I guess as long as the parents and the school and the government and the cops have all agreed on something that's not like the beeper bans of the past that doesn't infringe on any civil liberties, and I get that doesn't, like, hurt their ability to shift. There's just never... She won't agree to anything, but we'll see. Maybe she will hear.
And there's not a lot of high-quality data yet.
Yeah, there's not a lot of high-quality data, and I'm sympathetic to the teachers. I talk to enough teachers to say that I'm not discounting the idea that it can be useful in certain instances. Overall, I think it's really important. If you think of what the job is of a school, it's to prepare kids for the real world and for real life. And we want to raise kids that also know how to moderate their tech use. And
so we want them to have...
I think can be a challenge with these bans and with any sort of ban approach is that then the kid turns 18, they go off to college, and they've never had to learn how to self-regulate and moderate their...
Like, this is retarded. This might be one of the dumbest fucking things I've ever heard in my entire life, which is saying a lot considering how much I've listened to Taylor Lorenz speak before. Like, but this is what she does. This is the game that she plays, and nobody can ever catch on to this when they're in a conversation with her. To be fair, if you were to catch on to it, she would fight you until she would just rage quit, but...
Since 18, they go off to college, and they've never had to learn how to
use a phone in class
and moderate their tech use. And so then they end up, you know, in a really tough position academically because they haven't learned those sort of boundaries. And I think, you know, I think it's important to teach kids those boundaries. And so I think having a smart, thoughtful, tailored approach where each school is allowed to make their own decisions like, based on their own student body and evolve those positions as technology evolves as well. Like I said, we're seeing the rise of wearables.
Like nothing. There's nothing said here. I think that each school should have their own positions and their student councils and wearables. Like, there's nothing given. She will never, ever, ever give anything here. It's like talking to a Palestinian about a limited right of return. They will never give a number, ever. Ever. She'll never name a policy that she supports, ever. Or maybe she will in this interview. We'll see. Maybe.
AI camera, or, you know, they're putting cameras in AirPods now. These are all really concerning things. Meta smart glasses as well are now recording people.
My AirPods have cameras in them? Hello?
We have Snapchat coming out with glasses. I think that technology is evolving incredibly rapidly, and we need smart policies that center civil liberties, personal rights, and basically just, you know, make sure that we have a safe and thriving school environment for everyone.
What did
that
mean?
I certainly agree with.
Well,
but you didn't
say anything.
I was
Brad.
That generation where we had cell phones kind of phased in as we were teenagers, but not prior to that. So like when I was 6th grade, 7th grade, nobody had phones in schools. Yep. Or at least very little.
And we were fine.
And then we got the flip phones, and then the iPhones and Instagram and all that was introduced by the time we were in high school. And it's unrecognizable from what I hear from teachers who've had the shift from the way they did it, you know, where kids were on their phones all the time to a strict ban. It's like the kids are talking to each other again. They're listening.
They're
in
bullying
class
each
better.
Other again. They're bullying each other in increasingly vicious ways. Like, I think it's like, it reminds me of that thing where it's like showing some battle where everyone's getting murdered. And it's like the meme, it's like not a phone in sight. Everyone, like, just because a place is cell phone free doesn't mean it's necessarily healthier or better. I think what we should strive for is to develop healthy schools that are conducive to learning,
nothing,
that are good
nothing,
systems, where we teach people how to have boundaries around technology.
Yep,
while
nothing,
also
nothing,
not
nothing.
Letting the ed tech companies run things, because the ed tech companies love the school bans, because then kids have to go on their state-issued Chromebooks or whatever, where they can watch YouTube shorts. And a lot of these ed tech companies are harvesting a massive amount of student data. They harvest even more data when they're home on the school, you know, on the home Wi-Fi network. And I think if we want to have a conversation about technology in schools, let's also look at the ed tech the ed tech industry and companies like Google that have spent millions and millions and millions of dollars getting their technology into these classrooms. And if we want to have a tech-free school environment, or we want to sort of remove technology, let's also look at these corporate contracts. Why does a child have to upload their homework through some stupid third-party system, you know, that's harvesting their data that could get hacked? Like, that's ridiculous, you know? So I think we need to have a sharper criticism on sort of all of these systems.
But
and
she
the
won't give you one.
In it. And the contracts that these, you know, these are multi-million dollar contracts that these tech companies are getting to create and sell software to schools.
Ah.
Okay, one final topic I want to get your thoughts on, because you have a different view than I think most people. So I agree when people like President Biden or other people say like COVID-19 is over, the pandemic is over. But you think it is still a pandemic today, is that right?
I don't think. I mean, I think the World Health Organization exists. We have definitional sort of criteria for a pandemic. A disease has to be spreading at a specific level, and COVID is still spreading at that level. So I think
WHO, I just checked their website 20 minutes ago. I don't see this on the WHO site that we're still in a pandemic. Like, my understanding is COVID is considered endemic now to, I think, every region. But the idea that we're still in a pandemic, I don't know where that is. I don't know where the WHO states that. I haven't seen that at all. Apparently, they ended the one for COVID in 2023. So I don't know what she means when she says this. Well, she's just lying. But
for a pandemic, a disease has to be spreading at a specific level. And COVID is still spreading at that level. So I think
the World Health Organization ended their declaration.
No, they didn't actually. No, they did not actually. And no, they did not. That's a very common misunderstanding.
WHO declares COVID pandemic. So this says, yesterday, the COVID-19 Emergency Committee met for the 15th time and recommended to me that I declare an end to the public health emergency of international concern. I've accepted that advice with great hope. I declare COVID-19 over as a global health emergency. Could it still be considered a pandemic but not a global health emergency? Okay.
Did not. And I'll tell you let me pull it back up.
Pull it up for her random site that's not going to be the WHO.
You're thinking is the public health emergency.
Uh-oh.
And actually, here you go. Even in 2024, here's the World Health Organization reiterating that we are very much still definitionally in a pandemic. I mean, I don't know how to chat.
So this this did not say that. This is WHO leader says COVID-19 is, quote, still a pandemic, end quote. This is not saying that is the position of the WHO at all.
Reiterating that we are very much still definitionally in a pandemic.
I wonder if that's what that person says. Yeah, I don't think she's not making this. Oh, man, this is another thing that's annoying. So her statement here is, It's still a pandemic causing far too many infections or reinfections, hospitalizations, deaths, and long COVID when tools exist to prevent them. She wrote, cases and hospitalizations for COVID-19 have been on the rise for months. So she's saying that, like, this is an issue. It's not good. This is infections that are, these are infections all over the world. Like, people are not treating this with the seriousness that it is. She uses the word pandemic here, but I don't think she means to say that, like, we need to declare this a new pandemic. Also, this is somebody who is, I don't know what leader, a leader, I don't know how many leaders there are, like, or what board position or whatever. This is not like the WHO having an official position on a thing, I don't believe. Yeah. Anyway.
Pandemic. I mean, I don't know how to chat here. Basically, definition, like, there are different, like, for a disease to reach pandemic levels, it has to be unpredictable. It has to reach certain thresholds of transmission. COVID definitionally meets all those thresholds. If we want to ignore it and just say, listen, we don't care that we're in a COVID pandemic or that COVID is spreading at pandemic levels, let's have that conversation. But it's true. I mean, we have the wastewater data. We can see when COVID is spreading. We know how much COVID is spreading. And COVID, actually, right now we're in kind of a lull, but COVID continues to
keep. The difference, though?
But the wastewater? I thought we did wastewater analysis in the very beginning. Maybe we were trying to find out where it started spreading before we had testing for it. I wasn't aware that we used wastewater to track it after we started to develop tests for it. But okay, I don't know.
Between that and something like the flu or RSV, which is just always constantly spreading.
They always test wastewater. Yeah, but people can just get tested for COVID. We don't have to do wastewater tests, no?
So that's quite different. So those are not pandemics. And the reason COVID is not, the reason that the flu is not a pandemic is, number one, it's not spreading in the same way. So it doesn't spread as much.
What does that mean?
The flu is not as transmissible as COVID, and same with RSV. Second of all, the flu and an RSV follow specific patterns. So the flu is actually a seasonal virus. So it's predictable. You know when the surges are and you know when the transmission is occurring. COVID, again, because it's spreading at a pandemic level, we don't know when the surges are going to come. If you look at the wastewater charts, you'll see it's unpredictable, and COVID does not follow seasonal patterns. So some of the biggest COVID surges that we've seen have happened in the summer months, for instance, when that does obviously cannot happen with the flu. So I think that we need to have a smart approach to this. I think we just need a smart approach to airborne disease mitigation, like airborne disease travels through the air.
I take your point, and I'm happy to look at the link you sent and include that as well. But I think maybe the World Health.
People stopped testing, I'm guessing, almost 100% as of 2 years ago. Where was I at last? I feel like, don't they test you in the hospital if they think you have COVID? Don't you get tested for that? Am I making this up? I'm trying to remember when the last time I feel like I saw this was.
Health organization still labels something a pandemic. But setting aside technical definitions, right, meaningfully, when you have effective vaccines and treatments for a disease.
I don't think that we have effective vaccines, I would say. Unfortunately, we have vaccines that can help for a time prevent severe illness. So Sure, of course, and death.
I don't know what her agenda is. It's very hard to figure her out. She is like, she is shamelessly pro every like big tech company, like to an unfathomable. I've never seen somebody simp for big tech as much as she does. And then, yeah, this like she has this really weird, almost pathological obsession with COVID and masking and the public health stuff related to infectious diseases that I've never seen anybody else before. I'm almost positive that she lies about having some type of autoimmune disease. Everybody that says they have some chronic illness and it's some vague autoimmune disease is almost always fucking lying about it. Sorry, that's mean to say, but I don't know like what her, I don't know where this comes from. She could just be like a disturbed individual. I'm not sure, but very, very weird. I don't know.
Time in some people if their immune systems are not damaged, and that's not to say that we don't have.
But they can, like, also assist people who are immunocompromised in many cases.
Unfortunately, yes. And by the way, I'm very pro-vaccine. Get out and get your vaccines. We love the vaccines. Okay. However, until we acknowledge the limitations of our current vaccines, we can't get to better vaccines. So we certainly do not have anything close to a sterilizing vaccine with COVID. The antibodies generated by the vaccines decline very quickly, and COVID can cause immune problems in people. So every time you got a COVID infection, or just if you have an immune problem, you don't generate, or you're just old, you don't generate a strong response to the vaccine. So for instance, I'm severely immunocompromised. I can get 10 vaccines. I won't generate any amount of meaningful antibodies. And again, these are not sterilizing vaccines, so they don't reduce transmission in any meaningful way. They slightly reduce transmission to sometimes by decreasing your viral load for a certain amount of time. But people are not getting vaccines every 90 days or even every 6 months. Most people have not gotten vaccines in quite a while. If they're at risk, though, they can and should. No, but if they're at risk, again, they're not responding. Their bodies are not even able to respond.
That's not true for all people who are at risk of COVID.
It's true for elderly people. It's true for a lot of people.
The vaccines are very effective.
Like, she does this weird thing where she pretends, I don't know, they never bring up actual conditions or illnesses when they talk about this. There's like this mythical class of people who don't respond to the vaccine and don't, like, they get ill, they die. And for some reason, COVID is like especially worrisome for them, but they're not like sealed in
big bubbles where they bounce her. I don't believe any of this. I don't know what drives her. Like I said, she might be like one of the rare people that she's not like bought off or paid for. She might just be legitimately like, I don't know, mentally ill or something. I'm not sure. Also, apparently wastewater is regularly analyzed to look for a whole bunch of diseases or whatever. I wasn't aware of that.
You certainly do not have anything close to a sterilizing vaccine with COVID. The decline, the antibodies generated by the vaccines decline very quickly, and COVID can cause immune problems in people. So every time you got a COVID infection, or just if you have an immune problem, you don't generate, or you're just old, you don't generate a strong response to the vaccine. So for instance, I'm severely immunocompromised. I can get 10 vaccines. I won't generate any amount of meaningful antibodies. And again, these are not sterilizing vaccines, so they don't reduce transmission in any meaningful way. They slightly reduce transmission to sometimes by decreasing your viral load for a certain amount of time, but people are not getting vaccines every 90 days or even every 6 months. Most people have not gotten vaccines in quite a while. If you look
at the
trends,
at risk though, they can and should.
No, but if they're at risk, again, they're not responding. Their bodies are not even able to respond.
That's not true for all people who are at risk of COVID.
It's true for elderly people. It's true for a lot of people.
The vaccines are very effective for elderly people at reducing illness, serious illness.
Reducing, again, slightly reducing deaths, but we've known for years, and I just want to reiterate, get your vaccines. But as somebody that does anti-vax education and actually does vaccine advocacy and outreach here in LA, Brad, a lot of
stuff. You do anti-vax education? What? I thought it was the opposite.
Yeah, I educate people about the anti-vax movement, and I talk about how harmful.
Okay, I thought you were saying for a second you were educating people in that movement.
No. But I think some of the things that you're saying, Brad, are actually feeding anti-vax sentiment. And this is what we constantly hear. We hear people falsely believe that these are sterilizing vaccines. We hear people that are very uneducated about the limitations of our current vaccines. And because of those.
Say they were sterilizing vaccines.
Right. But I'm telling you what a lot of people sort of don't understand is the limitations. And it sounds like you're not as aware of some of the limitations of our current generation vaccines. Without acknowledging those limitations, people are given false assurances. And so what we saw, unfortunately, with the Biden administration is they miscommunicated the limitations of the vaccines. They told the public that they were effectively sterilizing and that you couldn't get COVID if you were vaccinated.
This is not true. None of this is true. is it possible that on all of her points, she believes she is right and doesn't have a hidden agenda? Or does other behavior... I don't know if she has a hidden agenda or not. She's crazy, but she might legitimately just be crazy. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. I really don't know. She's really hard to understand.
People got COVID. They got very sick. Many died. And that completely broke trust in the vaccines. Now we have a lot of people that are very uneducated that basically have taken a different approach where they say, well, you lied to me about it. You weren't honest about the limitations. You weren't upfront. You weren't centering those limitations. So now I don't believe in any vaccines. I think the vaccine mandates
also
fed
that. That's harmful.
That
swing in the pendulum and
right,
go the opposite
but the
extreme.
Reason why we have so much anti-vax sentiment right now is because of this vax and relax approach, this idea where we're over-reliant
vax
on vaccines. And as you know,
you
all the vaccine
up?
Trials were trialed with other measures in place like masking, ventilation, etc. So we need to understand what sort of technologies we can use that are also supportive of vaccines. Vaccines alone will never be an effective strategy to stop a disease like COVID.
She could just be like so autistic that she literally wants to live in a permanent lockdown, permanent masking world, that she thinks that people should just be indoors way more on their phones and shit because she's like addicted to her devices. Maybe. I don't know.
It won't be an effective strategy to stop a lot of diseases, right? We eliminated.
You're assuming there's a way to stop a disease like COVID.
Well, of course
and when
there
it
are.
Might just become a part of life like flu or RSV.
But there are ways to we eliminated an entire strain of the flu in 2020, right? There are ways to stop airborne disease. That's very silly to say that the airborne disease, there's no way to stop it. Imagine drinking a glass of sewer-filled water and saying there's no way to stop cholera. That's not true. We know that there are ways to
stop
disease.
Breathing.
We know there are ways to mitigate the spread of disease. And we should work on mitigating the spread of disease. Everybody, I think, should
what
be
is
on
it,
board
but
with
how
that.
So? Like, what would
yes.
you like people to be doing
mandatory
today
masks.
In 2026?
Mandatory
people are not
distancing.
Socially
mandatory
distance
lockdowns.
Or businesses
for
or,
everybody.
Or,
well, actually, a lot of people
like that
are doing that. Unfortunately, millions of people are having to engage in their own sort of personal behavior to, again, try to mitigate the spread of disease. Just the way that back in the 1800s, a lot of people they didn't have access to clean water. And so they had to personally filter their water to make sure that they didn't get sick. That was a huge burden. Eventually, we installed plumbing systems. Now, theoretically, we all have access to clean drinking water, although it's not perfect, right? But we need similar airborne precautions where, yeah, it's great if you want to wear a mask during flu season and sometimes, but you can't wear a mask 24/7. That's difficult. That's what a lot of people like myself have to do now. It's really annoying. It sucks. So what we should do is focus on policies and push people to acknowledge the reality of airborne disease and focus on policies that can systemically mitigate airborne disease. That means upgrading.
Like what?
That means upgrading ventilation. That means just educating people that opening a window. And
she never has ideas for anything. She doesn't ever have a thing. She always like points out problems. And then whenever you push her on it, it's like, what do we do? Educate people. Like, she didn't have anything for the tech stuff. I don't know. She's like the endless concern troll. I changed my mind. I feel like all these people are paid, and it's an intentional strategy. Nah, it's an intentional strategy. Come out, attack the center-left libs, and just, like, cause chaos and mayhem over and over and over again. Never have a plan. I feel like it's part of that, the fucking CIA book or whatever, right? Where they say, how to like disrupt an organization or whatever, and it's just like the endless hand-wringing, virtue signaling, go through these boards and just whatever, no actual actionable stuff.
Monitoring things like CO2 is helpful in mitigating airborne disease. So in Japan, for mitigate airborne disease, that means upgrading...
Like what?
That means upgrading ventilation. That means just educating people that opening a window and monitoring things like CO2 is helpful in mitigating airborne disease. So in Japan, for instance, if you walk into a grocery store or a movie theater, you'll see the little air quality monitors, and that will show you the CO2 levels there. So you can get a sense of, like, is the air clean enough? Is it not? These are things that are standard in other parts of the world. It would be really easy to institute airborne disease mitigations here in America. Would it completely eliminate COVID? Probably not, because, again, COVID, there's always going to be some level of transmission. It's a highly transmissible virus. But we are not living in the 1800s. This is not the Stone Age, okay? We know that washing your hands can help mitigate disease. We know that, filtering water can help prevent, disease from yourself from sort of consuming disease.
What does she gain from doing this? If we assume that it's not like any kind of like foreign supported activity, then it's just her own personal fucking, I don't know, psychoses or neuroses, I guess you would say. It's just a thing she's obsessed with? I don't know. If it is a foreign-supported thing, then it's just any kind of, like, chaos or undermining of the system or whatever is always, like, beneficial to people that are enemies of the United States. But I don't know, bro. She's fucking weird as fuck.
...isn't getting infected. And we know that cleaning the air and breathing clean air helps mitigate airborne pathogens. So let's all come together and do that. I agree that Biden sucks and did a lot of things wrong, and Trump also mishandled a lot. I think both political parties have completely abdicated on public health, and we're missing a lot of common sense solutions
because of it.
Because I think the liberals were really annoying in 2020, and they pissed off all these conservatives, and now the conservatives are, like, really mad at the liberals. I think both of these people need to just honestly shut up and just say, okay, yeah, there's disease in the air. Wouldn't we all like ourselves and our family members to breathe cleaner air? Certainly,
of course,
we would.
But there's only so much you can ask of people into perpetuity about a disease once you have vaccines and treatments.
Right, which is why it shouldn't be an individual solution. You're talking about vaccines. That's the ultimate individualistic solution. A lot of people don't have money for vaccines. They can't get the vaccines for free. I mean, as somebody that does vaccine outreach.
They'd be like, you can't do anything. You can't do anything. There's nothing you can do. These people can't afford it. They've got immunocompromised. They're old. You can't. You have to. Blah, blah, blah. There's like never anything. There's never anything you can do. Oh, what do we have to do? Change all the ventilation systems in every building. What the fuck? Open all the windows. Okay, well, fuck me, I guess. Like, what?
Hey, people are
saying, Medicaid cover the vaccines?
No, so people, a lot of times we go and we say, why have you not got the vaccine? Well, I did. I went to CVS and I was told it was $200. Now, sometimes that might be wrong. They actually are eligible, but they don't understand that, or the CVS employee doesn't understand that. A lot of times, again, we don't, because we have such slow development and because there has been a refusal to acknowledge the limitations of our current vaccines, we are also not investing in next generation vaccine development. Mm. We could potentially invent a sterilizing vaccine for COVID. That would be amazing. Maybe we could, but we're not investing in it until we sort of start acknowledging these truths. I get vaccinated. It's amazing. But that should be a last line of defense. That should be if you are infected.
What does a sterilizing vaccine mean? Like, if you're vaccinated, it's to make it so you won't spread the disease when you're sick. Wouldn't that have to be like a vaccine that gives you like a 100% immediate response thing? Is that like a thing? Hold on, let me check. Sterilizing vaccine. Okay, no. There's no such thing as a sterilizing vaccine that prevents transmission. What she's talking about is a vaccine that causes your body to mount an immune response so severe that the virus just doesn't take hold. So you don't transmit the disease, but it's because you can't even become infected is what that means. I don't know if that is possible for all diseases. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, I guess if you get a vaccine every 3 months, maybe, I guess, that would be, or whatever. The issue, she talks about, like, your antibodies go away. So, once you get infected, your body creates antibodies, which are things that, like, plug into the virus to disable it so it can't find its way anywhere and it gets fucked. But after you have an infection, all of these antibodies are kind of, like, hanging around your system, but your body's not making anymore. And then, after a few months, your antibody count will plummet because they die and you're not making anymore. When you get infected the next time, there's a process by which your cells go and they check your lymphatic system. Is that the immune part? And they look for these memory cells to see, like, hey, do you remember this fucking asshole? And if the memory cells say yes, then you can create antibodies much faster than having to go through the whole process of figuring out which proteins you have to match and blah, 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 blah. So when you get vaccinated, or if you have natural immunity or whatever to a disease, all that means is that when you get infected, your body will recognize it and then it'll spin up, like, creating antibodies, like, pretty way quicker than if you had no history of the infection, and you won't be sick for as long. Or it won't be like a severe, it won't be as severe. But I don't know how you would ever force your body to create those cells faster.
Now, if you already have the antibodies, my guess is you probably just don't become infected. So like if you have an infection and then eventually you get better and 2 weeks later you get infected again, the second the, for here, SARS-CoV-2, the second the virus comes to your body, the antibodies are already floating around and they just kick the shit out of it because they're already there. You don't have to call the bodyguards. They're literally waiting for this guy to show up. But I don't know how you would, I don't know if it's possible to force your body to constantly produce antibodies or to produce antibodies faster than it already does. I'm not sure if that's, I just don't know. I truly don't know. I don't know if that's possible. I've never heard of that before. Maybe it is and I've never heard of it, but.
Did that, the vaccine is going to help you not die. It's going to make your symptoms a lot better. Definitely. The vaccine is such an important layer. It's a core layer, but it cannot be the only thing that stops disease. And we shouldn't be throwing a lot of these people who can't get vaccinated, including babies, under the bus. A lot of the sickest people
babies
that are getting,
aren't at risk of
yes
COVID-19.
They are a lot of the sickest
not
cases,
meaningful risk of yes very actually, very statistically
you have very outdated info, because especially in the most recent wave this past winter, children were most effective, and with I think it's BA 2.2 or something, it's actually children and young children that are having some of the worst effects. So we need to, and again, of course, each time you get infected with COVID, and a lot of children are being reinfected with COVID, it can damage your body. We know that cumulative COVID infections, just the same with any pathogen, if you keep getting sick with something, your body is going to deteriorate. We should try to mitigate illness. Every parent that has a child in daycare knows it's so annoying when your child comes home sick all the time. And then
what are we supposed
sick,
to do?
To
ask again, Brad. What do we
this
do?
This is very stupid. We could have very simple systemic solutions, just the way that we don't ask everybody to filter their own water. We should have a
what do we do? What is it?
Of understanding
of what?
How to clean the air. It's really not.
You've just kind of identified some things that seem kind of piecemeal around the edges, like filtration systems
that's
being
not
upgraded.
Piecemeal. That's central. That is central. That is central. If we had air filtration, really meaningful air filtration, in every single public school, the rates of disease transmission would plummet.
I don't know how true that is. I know that that stuff can help a little bit, but if you get a sick kid in a classroom, maybe it would filter out the air faster so that the next class wouldn't get sick, but I don't know how much that would meaningfully impact. I'm not sure. I bet it does help a little bit. I bet it does help a little bit, but I think it's more nibbling around the edges. That's my guess. Destiny, I'm an M3. Bro, do med students say this shit now? Have they always said this? You can make a vaccine elicit a stronger response. They are called live attenuated vaccines, where you inject a disabled but alive organism into the person in order for the body to mount a response. These are generally considered the strongest for eliciting an immune response. Elderly children and pregnant people can't take these, so we use others for them, like subunit or killed vaccines, which elicit a weaker response but are safer for the patient. I don't know how true that is. I think that there are different vaccines can work for different reasons and for different people, but I don't know. I think you have to be very careful when you generalize that. Like, there are times where a vaccine, especially these mRNA ones, but a vaccine that targets like a super specific protein, it might be more advantageous to disable that certain protein. Whereas when your body makes an immune response to an actual infection, your body might be matching all sorts of different proteins that the virus has. Maybe it's more efficient to just target one when you mount an immune response. I don't know if I would generalize that. I think what you're saying might be loosely true, like loosely correlated, but I don't think it's like a hard rule that like live attenuated vaccines are always better than mRNA vaccines, or these are always better than these types of vaccines. I don't know if you would say 100%. But then again, I also banged your mom's fat ass. Woo!
I mean, plummet. And we know that schools are the primary place where a lot of this transmission is starting. Schools are so, I mean, I talked to teachers.
Weren't they given hundreds of billions of dollars under Biden in the legislation to work, spend
Biden
on that kind
gave,
of thing?
Unfortunately, a lot of that money was allocated, and then Biden ultimately gave it to other things. Surprise, surprise. Joe Biden is inept. But the point is, listen, a lot of this stuff is
Dems.
Not even that expensive.
They
and
do.
I think that we are spending a lot of money in wasteful spaces in the government. I think it's not that difficult to advocate for clean air. Again, a lot of it is just opening the window. That's free. That's free. And you know that we bolt windows, even the tops of windows, the teachers that want to open and a lot of this is for climate standard stuff, but you know, they bolt the windows shut. So the teachers can't even get fresh.
I super do not believe that for a second. I bet they bolt them because on the dark end, it's going to be kids fucking killing themselves. And then on the retarded end, it's because kids are going to open doors. I remember doing this in school where you'd open a door and you'd throw shit out at people at recess or whatever, or fucking paper airplanes out the fucking window if you could sneak into a classroom and the teacher's gone. I bet they bolt it for that fucking reason, because you don't want people doing dumb shit. That'd be my guess. I could be wrong, but that would be my guess.
Fair. And thankfully, I think some of the MAHA people have actually sort of been leading a campaign against this stuff.
Oh my God.
Aside from these like granola moms in, you know, Kentucky or something, pretty much, you know, no one is talking about this. And I think that we should be able to have conversations about airborne disease, you know, that aren't
conversations.
Poisoned by politics in
conversations.
Sure. And I appreciate the conversation. I think you're a very interesting person with perspectives you might not find anywhere else. People who are interested in more of your perspectives can check you out on YouTube or User Mag. I'll link to both in the description. Taylor, thanks so much for joining me
Wait,
for
Brad,
this conversation.
Can I say one more thing that we didn't
Uh-oh.
Talk about that I think it's so important that your audience
Please.
Pay attention to? The main thing that I cover on my channel or in my content
is privacy, basically, and mass surveillance and all of these laws. And right now we are seeing some of the most terrifying censorship laws that we've ever seen get passed in states. We're seeing age verification laws. The Kids Online Safety Act is about to be potentially passed through Congress. These are censorship laws. And I promise you, when a Democrat gets back in office, look at what Joe Biden did and look at how conservatives were, I think, unjustifiably censored in a lot of ways, you know, under Democratic.
She's against anything having to do with did you hear a single regulation at all for tech? She will not give you a single hypothetical. She's against all of it. It's great. I've never seen somebody who simps for tech as much as she does. Not a single person. It's crazy.
Leadership, that is about to get 10 times worse if we have these laws in place. It is really dangerous. And there's this new, there's a new bipartisan bill by Ron Wyden and Ted Cruz. I think it's called like the Jawbone Act, but it's about basically making sure that the government cannot pressure these social media platforms to take down speech that they don't like. I think it's so important to get on board with this issue.
Do you know that she's against any tech regulation? I don't think she ever says that, but in my entire life, I've never heard her give a single regulation that she would be in favor of. If you can link what I would genuinely be curious to see. I don't think she'll always like allude to some like very vague, like, do you think there should be any regulations whatsoever against computers that eat children's heads? And she'll be like, well, obviously, of course, I think that parents should get together with their local state representatives and they should try to think of ways to regulate this technology that would be helpful for kids. But what's not helpful is telling the computers that they're not allowed to eat at all. What if they starved to death? And what's not helpful, if we look at how we regulated cannibalistic machines in the past, all of them starved to death and died. Like, that's how she always phrases all of her answers. If somebody could link a thing, I'd be curious to see it. But I don't think I've ever heard her ever give a restriction that she'd be in favor of.
Free speech is something, again, you might not agree with me and I might not agree with you, but I will always fight for your right to say what you believe.
Same.
This is something that we have to protect as Americans. And I think a lot of people have been asleep at the wheel. Maybe they think Trump is president. They're not so worried. You should worry, because just imagine how every law that's passed, imagine how the worst person alive.
Do you know why I don't know why. I have no idea. I don't know. She's really weird.
Your biggest political enemy will use that law against you. This is really scary. So I think.
And with that, Taylor Lorenz has joined the Libertarian Party.
You can ask libertarians. They're correct on speech and a lot of issues.
Well, amen to everything you just said. There's definitely a lot of concerns to be had about all of that. Well, Taylor, thank you so much for the conversation. Again, people can check you out on YouTube or Substack, user Mag. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, guys.
I'm curious. Taylor Lorenz, GDPR. Certainly she was okay with this, right? Like right to be forgotten and stuff? Maybe? She must be. Has she not made any statements about GDPR stuff? Bro, this video was fucking Bro, this video was fucking crazy. On child influencer laws, GDPR. By Pratika Katiyar. This isn't even written by Taylor. This is just written by somebody else, no? Good one, dipshit. Destiny, I'm an infectious disease physician. Okay, house. No conventional vaccine is designed to induce a persistent monoclonal expansion. Rather, all effective vaccines induce a polyclonal B-cell response that undergoes clonal contraction, leaving behind long-lived memory B-cells and bone marrow plasma cells. However, certain vaccine platforms, particularly mRNA vaccines, have been shown to drive notably prolonged clonal expansion. Interesting. GDPR mentions across her YouTube. She really only mentions it
apparatus,
twice?
Including the GDPR, was predicated on the assumption that the American government would never say no and turn around and decide to reassert its sovereignty at its digital border. And the minute that the United States does this, the entire European regulatory project, which the Europeans sometimes describe themselves as a quote-unquote regulatory superpower, that project falls apart, because ultimately law is itself a local phenomenon, right? It exists within borders. That has been the case since the Peace of Westphalia for the last 400 years, right? So that is a fundamental operating assumption. And so a lot of these digital regulations they were building kind of assumed that they would be able to override that basic assumption, because everyone was just trying to get along and playing nice. While the question of this old rule, like 60, 70 years, no one's ever answered the question, who gets the right rules of the road for the internet? And the fact that the U.S. has now pushed back means that, you know, I think there's a conceivable...
Okay, what is this?
This is because of GDPR and other sort of tech legislation abroad, because we're certainly not cracking down on data privacy here, I think. But you see this like prompt to accept cookies. What does that mean?
Say when you... anybody can go on and buy it.
Well, I want to talk about like who's buying the data, actually. And I'm curious like how much insight you have into that. Like, who are these companies that are buying it? Because I think obviously we know advertisers and everybody is familiar with the concept of like a targeted ad, and they've, you know, somehow gotten hold of your data and they're selling you something on Instagram. But are there any kind of other people buying data that people might be surprised by?
I mean, I think that one, anybody can go and buy it. Like, I can go on to whitepages.com and see if I could find Taylor Lorenz and buy your information that would potentially include past addresses. Now, I believe that you've had yours scrubbed, but like if that was the case, then you could buy that. Just a regular person could do that. Yes, advertisers, most of the time we think about that from the perspective of just like companies
online that are trying to, you know, advertise to you through Facebook or Google. But really, even the things that you get in like the mail, the junk mail that you get, that is usually somebody going to a data broker and saying, hey, I want to get the addresses for everybody in this zip code that has bought a car in the past year and is between the ages of 4.
Okay, I don't care.
Remember to hit that like and subscribe, and don't forget the notification bell so that my videos show up right in your feed.